I guess we'll just start with the McCaw thing. I don't think that he's going to be an impact player on the Raptors, or that's that important to discuss what his role is going to be with this team. But do you believe that there is a legitimate chance the Cleveland Cavaliers end up losing a first-round pick because of everything that's happened with their signing him away from the Warriors and then releasing him, I think, a week later?
No.
Okay.
I don't think there's any chance at all. You know, I think the only thing that maybe would have come out of it, out of this investigation, is that the NBA says that Cleveland wouldn't be permitted to sign McCaw for the rest of the season. And now he's in Toronto. And if the league wants to change the rules on how restricted free agency goes, then they should do it in the next CBA. But Cleveland, you know, they played by the rules. They gave McCaw an offer sheet at the end of December. It was a non-guaranteed offer sheet. They had a 10-day window to kind of evaluate him. I said before, I was in Cleveland last weekend and saw McCaw play twice. And I just didn't think Patrick was kind of ready. You know, he hadn't played for about 6 or 7 months, and Golden State had elected not to match the offer sheet because it would have cost them about $11 million in luxury tax penalties. And they had the option to do so. They certainly could have done that and kept McCaw. And, now you have an ownership group. I think it's petty from Golden State's perspective to kind of launch this here. I don't see Cleveland losing a first round pick, whatever comes out of this, out of this investigation.
Yeah, it always seemed a little petty on their end. I always wondered exactly what was happening with this player. But you mentioned he hasn't played in so long, and the Raptors go and get him. And I think the natural inclination from the fan base was, oh, okay, well, you don't have anything in CJ Miles this season, so go out and grab this player. But to me, it feels more like a long-term play that, hey, maybe you can find something in him this season in the G League. And the Raptors have had a pretty decent history of player development, and you can get something out of this guy. Is that your sense of it as well? Or do you think there's a chance he ends up cracking the deeper rotation?
I think it's more about the long-term. I would be surprised if he has an impact this year, just because, you know, he had an injury at the end of last year in Sacramento, and he missed, you know, the rest of the season, and he missed a good portion of the playoffs. So, you know, he hasn't really played a stretch of basketball probably since, I guess, somewhere in March, I want to say. And there's still a lot of rust to him. But he's a young wing. You know, he's 6'6", 6'7", you know, 20, I guess he's 22, 23 years old. But the funny thing is that he's a restricted free agent again this offseason. So the Raptors have his rights to do what they want to do. And I think it's from his agent's perspective, I think it's, you know, Toronto, there's a track record with the Raptors as far as from a developmental standpoint, either in their G League or, you know, with their own coaches. We've seen it with their former first round pick. So I think him, does he help maybe towards the end of the year? Possibly. But I think for right now, I think that the goal is to probably get him in NBA. I don't want to say he's out of shape, but there's a difference between playing pickup ball and, you know, working out with your trainer than playing, you know, in an NBA game here.
Just looking around the league, to me, one of the more interesting stories, obviously Golden State being who they are, they're always at the forefront of the conversation. Looking at DeMarcus Cousins coming back soon, I'm just wondering how you think that'll affect that team and, in terms of how it'll affect the rest of the league, if in fact he can be the player that he once was. Do you think he'll be able to have a big effect with that group?
I have a hard time believing that we're going to see the DeMarcus Cousins that we saw in New Orleans last year before he tore that Achilles. I think these type of injuries are so much different than an ACL or having a shoulder injury here, where especially for bigs, it'll be interesting as far as what his minutes restriction will be in Golden State. But I kind of equate it to almost make a midseason trade. You know, they didn't have to give up anything except money to get him.
Yeah.
So, and they can kind of experiment with him for, with how deep that team, you know, from a talent standpoint, they can experiment for the next, you know, 3 or 4 months going into the playoffs here. So I would be stunned, guys, if we see DeMarcus come out and being like that player in Sacramento, even in New Orleans before that Achilles, just because, you know, the track record we saw with Rudy Gay torn his Achilles in Sacramento, it's almost taken him 2 years to kind of get back to that, to where Rudy was. And I think it's going to take a little bit for DeMarcus, but he's a five, former all-star. And as I said before, you're getting him for nothing in the middle of, in January.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you just said. And I think what scares me the most as a fan of another team, or I would say I'm just a fan of cheering against the Warriors at this point, that I would just like to see someone else win. And it's like, if they do end up winning, it's not going to hurt me or anything, but it's just fun to cheer against the dynastic teams. But what worries me is his potential effect of galvanizing that group, because it's been a bit of an up and down season for the Warriors. And I do wonder if there's some complacency with that group and some frustration with that group. And all of a sudden Cousins gives them a project that everyone gets to work on, which is getting DeMarcus Cousins back and getting DeMarcus Cousins a ring, and all of a sudden working and playing with him, and maybe it's fun, and all of a sudden this group ends up coming together. Do you think that that's, I don't know, how do you feel about that idea of it?
Well, I don't think it'll be a distraction, if that's one thing, just because we're already 3 or 4 months into the season, and besides that incident, I think it was New York where he got thrown out.
Yeah.
He's been a good teammate, and I think he realizes that there's not many bullets left in the chamber here for how many more chances DeMarcus Cousins has. And he's looking at it as an audition here, but I don't think it will ruin the chemistry on the court, because this team has kind of been a little bit of a work in progress all year, kind of where they are with CC, with Steve Kerr trying to put out different lineups. When is Curry playing in the fourth quarter, as far as managing certain minutes here? So I don't see him kind of, if this team was 30-5 and all of a sudden DeMarcus Cousins is on the court and, you know, it causes a little bit of chaos, and it's one thing, but I think they need, based on their depth, you know, I always say there's a difference between regular season depth and playoff depth. And Golden State has playoff depth when you can roll out, you know, 7 or 8, you know, players like they do, but their depth in the regular season is not good at all. I mean, when you're looking at Jonas Jerebko and Quinn Cook, Alfonso McKinney, who just was on a non-guaranteed. So it's you know, inserting Cousins in there kind of just, you know, makes your bench a little bit deeper.
So do you think this is the best thing for Boogie then, to go to the Warriors? Was this his best chance at, maybe eventually getting a much bigger contract eventually, is going to the Warriors? Just knowing what seems like the potential could be. Obviously there's a lot of players and there's only one ball to go around. Do you think this was his best chance to make money going forward?
I think DeMarcus is going to have a hard time making money going forward. Hmm. No matter what we see from him coming back in the next week and for the next four months. I think teams are going to be very reluctant, paying a player, a center, you know, and I know we're going to get in the day and age, we're kind of getting away from centers here. $25-30 million, if that, you know, coming off an Achilles here. And you look at the teams that who have cap space again this summer, it's basically the same nine teams from last year, and then we add in New York and the Clippers. There's one more team that we could add in there. So you have 12 teams, and I just don't see a big market for DeMarcus. I didn't see a big market for him last summer, even before the Achilles, after, you know, with outside of New Orleans here. So I think it is an audition for his next contract, but I just don't – will he make more than $5 million this year? I would certainly think so, but I think the day and age of – DeMarcus Cousins getting a max contract or even a contract north of $20 million are long gone.
Well, if I'm a GM too, and even if he does have success, I'm thinking, okay, you had success on the Warriors.
Yeah, but it's the Warriors.
Yeah, I don't think that if we're going to bring you into our organization and ask you to be one of the one or two focal points or give you a big contract, especially like you mentioned coming off that injury, things start to go south. He does have a history of things are going to get really bad if he's not able to return to being the same player. And it has a whole set of other complications that I would think anyways that a lot of organizations still wouldn't want to deal with when you put the injury as a part of this. So we looked at this McCaw thing, and as you mentioned already, that it doesn't seem like he's going to have an impact in the rotation this season. I think that's a pretty reasonable approach to this. But a lot of people are wondering if the Raptors in an all-in season should be looking at trying to acquire something else, maybe another piece that can give them some more spacing, some more shooting, or maybe even another guard. Do you look at this roster and see a hole right now or a way that they can address it? Or is this something where you just have to stand pat and hope that it just coalesces and hits its ceiling?
I think you stay pat, and I think you become active, you know, when it comes closer to March 1, when it's the buyout, the deadline for the players to be bought out. And I think that's a big reason why you see them keeping that, besides certainly the luxury tax, why that, you know, 15th roster spot is available. I just think it's hard to as I say, kind of rock the boat a little bit as far as what you have to go out and make a big deal, big trade here. You know, you certainly would like you would have liked to see get something out of CJ Miles, which you haven't gotten anything this year here. At least you get Norm kind of back to playing some pretty decent basketball here. So yeah, I mean, I think everyone would like to get another shooter. We saw with Philly last year when they were able to get Marco Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova at the buyout deadline, two guys for basically free. So I think that's probably more of the direction that you're going to go, because I'd hate for you to kind of give up some of your younger players for a guy on an expiring, and then especially with the uncertainty with Kawhi, you give up something, and then when God forsake he leaves, then you're losing more assets than you originally had.
Again, we're talking to Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider for ESPN. Do you think that the Raptors would actually be an attractive destination for those buyout candidates, though? Because last year we did see those two guys you mentioned go to Philadelphia because there was opportunity to play. And I would think that if I'm a free agent and I get bought out, yes, there's a chance to maybe go win. But if I think I can contribute to a roster, I'd much rather say go to Golden State where there doesn't seem to be a lot of depth, or go to Los Angeles where you could probably crack a rotation, or maybe even Philadelphia. Again, to me, Toronto would be very low down the list.
Well, I think that's what comes down to the head coach. You know, usually it's almost like free agency part two when these players are bought out, and the coach is the one who's basically your pitch man as far as what is available from a playing time perspective. So I don't see why not. I mean, you've got one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, if not the whole NBA, and you've got as good of an opportunity as we've seen this team to get to an NBA Finals here. And I think we could get a rich pool of players that are bought out come March 1.